If you've ever seen an episode of the 1960s or 1970s TV series, or one of the films that's been made from the 1990s till now, Mission Impossible, you might know the words, "Your mission, should you choose to accept it," as the secret agents are given their task to go off and save the world from another terrorist event or something like that. And their mission always comes on a little cassette tape or a USB stick or down through the internet and then self-destructs a few seconds after it's been given to the secret agents. Well, here in the reading that Dara just gave to us, we see that the disciples are given a mission, not one that's going to self-destruct, but it is one that's all about saving the world. And we're only here today because they and others who followed them chose to accept the mission that Jesus gave to them, and that God then worked through those people who had chosen to accept the mission. And we'll see how this is our mission as well. And as we look to 2020, how it's our mission to go out into the world and to make disciples, to go out saving the world for Jesus. So we see, first of all, that Jesus' disciples were with the risen Jesus in Galilee in verses 16 and 17. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." So that word at the beginning, "now," sometimes it's translated as "then" or "but," because things had happened beforehand that meant the disciples had now gone off to Galilee. This passage comes after the resurrection, after Jesus has died on the cross and the Son of Heaven has risen again. But it also comes after, in Matthew's gospel, after the chief priests in Jerusalem had paid off soldiers to spread a rumor that the disciples had stolen Jesus' body. And now the disciples have traveled to Galilee with this rumor going on in the background to the mountain that Jesus had commanded them, had sent them to, had directed them to. And so Jesus had actually told them to go to this mountain. If you look back into verse 7 of Matthew chapter 28, you'll find a command that Jesus gives, the risen Jesus gives. "Then go quickly and tell his," that's given to Jesus' disciples. "Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." And this command is given to the two women who were at the tomb of Jesus, to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who we're not ever quite sure who she is in the story. And Jesus is here in Galilee, waiting to meet them. And so the disciples go to the mountaintop, go to the mountain as they've been commanded. And their response varies as they meet the risen Jesus. Some of them hesitate. They doubt. They hesitate. They don't necessarily recognize who the risen Jesus is. And they don't necessarily recognize all the authority that's been given to him, as we'll see in the next few verses. But others of them worship. Others of them worship. And as they hesitate, as they doubt, we see that Jesus comes forward in verse 18. Jesus came and said to them. And what does Jesus say to them in verse 18? "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority. Jesus now here is saying, "I have absolute authority throughout the whole earth and throughout all of heaven," throughout the universe, we might say, throughout the whole universe. And Matthew wants us to recognize here what Jesus is saying after his resurrection, compared to, if you go back into Matthew chapter 4, what the devil offered Jesus as he was tempting Jesus in the desert. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. Again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" You see, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when the devil took him out into the desert, on offer, if Jesus just bowed down and worshipped, was all the kingdoms of the world. But because Jesus obeyed God and followed God and went to the cross and died and defeated death, resurrected, the risen Jesus can say, "All authority in earth and in heaven, the whole universe, far more than was on offer before, has been given to me." And it's only God that has that authority. Only God can have that authority over the heavens and over the earth. Jesus is God, as we saw last week. And here he's proclaiming his deity, his godliness. But this authority has been given to Jesus. And it's been given to him by God the Father. And so we see the whole of the Trinity at work here as well. We see God the Father and God the Son. And we'll see when we come to look at what these verses say about baptism in a minute, that we see the name of the Spirit as well. But we see the disciples have reacted to Jesus, responded to this risen Jesus. And that begs us to ask the question, how do we respond to the risen Jesus as well? Before he's even given them their mission to go out into the world and to spread his word and to make disciples, what's their response? Some hesitate and some worship. So what's my response to Jesus? What's my response as we read the words in the Bible? What's my response as I pray? What's my response as I sing these words that we sing on a Sunday? Is it this hesitation? Is it the doubtfulness? Or, like the others, do I worship? Have I heard the call of the risen Lord? Have I met with him like the disciples, even the ones who doubted and hesitated, did hear as he came to them? If you've heard Jesus' call, but you've never responded to it, then there's no time like today, and you can come and have a chat with any of us that you've seen at the front later on, and we can talk to you some more about it. But Jesus is calling out and asking for us to respond to him in worship and to get over our hesitation as he calls to us, as he wants to meet with us. And then we come, after Jesus has met with his disciples, the risen Jesus has met with them in Galilee, we come now to the mission that he gives to this great commission in verses 18 to 20. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Because Jesus has been given all this authority, he can now say to his disciples, "Go and make disciples." And it's that "make disciples" that is the key. It's what Jesus is saying for them to get on and do. So if we think about what making disciples means, we first of all have to ask, what is it that Jesus is asking his disciples to make? It's a disciple. So what is a disciple? Mark Deaver, who works at Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, D.C., said this: "A disciple is a follower of Jesus, but more. It's someone who's entered into a personal, saving relationship with Jesus Christ. They are united with Christ. And it starts with what Jesus did. the good shepherd laying down his life for his sheep, as it says in John chapter 10, verse 11. And then the disciple then follows Jesus with and through faith. That's a disciple, a follower of Jesus, someone who's entered into a personal relationship with Jesus, knowing that Jesus has saved them from their sin. And that relationship starts with Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. It's not for us to initiate. We can't do that. And so Jesus then gives this command to his disciples, to his followers, to those that have followed him throughout his mission. And if we are followers of Jesus, he gives this command to us too. We find ourselves in the line of Jesus' disciples, of his apostles, as we follow, as we adhere to, as we stick to the same good news that Jesus is our Savior, the same good news that they preached, as we hear it preached, as we hear it taught, and as we follow it too. So this command, if we are followers of Jesus, comes to us as well. But as we go about making disciples, as the disciples of Jesus went about making disciples, they never became masters. They never raised themselves up to become equal with Jesus. They remained his disciples as well. And the same is true of us. Being a disciple is a journey on earth that will never be complete. We will never attain full, amazing discipleship. We're always going to have something that we can work on as we are disciples. We will never achieve the status of being a master disciple. We will never achieve the status of Jesus as we are disciples of him. Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 to 25 say this: a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. And so as the disciples are to go about their work of making disciples, they are to be like Jesus, but they will never be Jesus. So they are now commanded to go out, these disciples, and make disciples, to do a job of discipling other people. So what does that mean? One commentator wrote this: to disciple a person to Christ is to bring them into the relation of pupil to teacher, taking Jesus' yoke of authoritative teaching, accepting what Jesus says as true because he says it, and submitting to Jesus' requirements as right because he makes them. To disciple a person, we need to have a relationship with them and to bring them into a relationship where they recognize that they are a pupil of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, and helping them to understand Jesus' teachings and accept Jesus' teachings as the truth because they were spoken by Jesus. Making a disciple is about helping somebody to hear Jesus' teaching, helping them to understand Jesus' teaching, and helping them to obey Jesus' teaching. As we go along our way as disciples, we call out to others around us to go with us in our journey along our way with Jesus. And then Jesus gives some characteristics as well that he asks as they are to go and make disciples. So they have to go. It's not something you can do just sat on your own in a chair. You have to go and do it. You need to be in relationship with people so that you can disciple them. So you have to go. And then Jesus says, baptizing. Baptizing those who become disciples in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to observe all that Jesus has commanded. So these are part of the means of making disciples. They characterize it, but they're not the whole picture. They're just little characteristics of it. Going, baptizing, and teaching. God works through the proclamation of the gospel, through us telling the good news of Jesus. And as God works through the gospel being spoken, he leads people to repent. He leads people to accept that they need Jesus and draws them into faith. Those who are baptized, those who are taught, are those who have begun the journey of discipleship. And that they can then go and make disciples in all nations. And there's that word all again. All authority, Jesus said, has been given to him. And we're to make disciples in all nations. So Jesus says, to make disciples and to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we see that picture of the Trinity again. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the baptism, it's a symbol of coming into a relationship with, of coming under the lordship of, and entering into the kingdom of Jesus. It shows that those who have been baptized have submitted to the lordship of Jesus. And we see here that Jesus is commanding us to do it. So it's obedient. It's obedient for us as a church to do baptism, to have baptism services. And when somebody is baptized, that person is being an obedient disciple to Jesus as well. So we're to go and make disciples, to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and to teach. To teach those new disciples and old disciples to observe all that Jesus has commanded. Again, we see this word all. All authority, all nations, all that Jesus has commanded. And Jesus is saying here, teach all that I have commanded. We see that the Old Testament still provides us with context for the mission of Jesus. But the law and the prophecy are fulfilled in Jesus. The later New Testament expands and explains and applies what Jesus did. And it extends our understanding of what Jesus has done. But both the Old Testament and the later New Testament point to Jesus. And so our teaching should point to Jesus at all times as well. And Jesus says, teach everything that I have commanded. There's nothing there that Jesus is saying, well, in 50 years you can stop teaching this, or in 100 years you can stop teaching this, or in 2,000 years this bit of my teaching is going to be gone. None of it, none of Jesus' teaching becomes outdated or false. None of his commands become outdated or false. Jesus says, teach everything I have commanded. So we must teach all that Jesus says for all time. And that's not just me or whoever standing up here and preaching. That's us reading the Bible and then talking to a friend about what we've learned. It's about helping people to understand what the Bible says and what Jesus has commanded. And Jesus says, what is taught, what he has given, his commands, they're to be obeyed. And as the disciples went about teaching, they were eyewitnesses to what Jesus had done. They'd seen with their own eyes Jesus at work in the world. They'd heard with their own ears the words that Jesus spoke. But as they went about teaching, the eyewitnesses helped people to become ear witnesses. And so the teaching spread. There was only a limited number of people who ever actually saw Jesus at work when he was on earth. But the gospel spread as eyewitnesses taught ear witnesses taught ear witnesses. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul writes, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So our teaching goes on and on and on. And as we teach what Jesus commands, as we teach the Bible, the gospel spreads and grows. So practically, how do we go about going out and making disciples? Well, Mark Dever again came up with 6 characteristics of what going out and making disciples looks like. First of all, it needs to be started. It needs to be initiated. We need to take the treasure in our jars of clay and let it come out. We need to let it shine out from us. That needs to be both outside the church as we bring new people to know Jesus. But also, we've seen that discipleship is a never-ending journey. So it needs to be inside the church as well, as we disciple each other, as we help each other to grow as disciples. So we have to start it or initiate it. And we have to teach. We have to teach each other what the Bible says. We have to teach each other what we learn from Jesus and what he commands in the Bible. And sometimes that's going to involve correcting. Because sometimes we see things that are wrong. And we have to gently correct people and point them to what Jesus says where they are wrong. So we have to start, we have to teach, and we have to model. We have to live the life of a disciple as well if we're going to make other disciples. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps." We have to follow in the steps of Christ, living out and modeling what it means to be a disciple, to follow in his footsteps. So we have to start or initiate. We have to teach, sometimes correcting. We have to live the life to model what it means to be a disciple. When we're making disciples, we have to do it in love, in mutual love. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." As we teach each other, as we model what it is to be a disciple to each other, as we help each other grow, if we do it in love, those verses say they stir each other up to good works and encourage each other through our love for each other. And as the return of Jesus approaches, that becomes more and more important. And that leads us to the 5th characteristic. We have to be humble as we disciple, as we go about making disciples. We're not masters. Jesus is our master. We are still disciples. We don't know everything. So we have to go about helping people to be disciples, helping them grow as disciples with humility. So we start, we initiate, we teach, which might mean correcting. We model, we live out the life in mutual love, in humility with humbleness, and we guide each other towards heaven. We point each other home towards heaven, because Jesus is going to come again one day. Jesus leaves his disciples not just with this command, this great commission. He leaves them with an encouragement. The final words of Matthew's gospel: "And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." And that idea takes the start of Matthew's gospel and puts it at the end of Matthew's gospel. It takes this idea of God with us from the beginning of the gospel and leaves the gospel closing with Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And here, at the very end of the gospel, Jesus says, "And behold, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And that's not for our own individual comfort in this context. This is coming as Jesus has given this great commission. He's given the disciples their mission, if they choose to accept, to go out into the world to bring the message of Jesus to the world. And it's for the successful completion of that mission that Jesus is there with them to the very end of the age. You see, we cannot go out into the world on our own and make disciples. We can only succeed in our mission if we do it with Jesus, if we do it in his power. "Behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." And so as we finish thinking about these verses, the risen Jesus was there with his disciples in Galilee, and he gave them this great commission. Some of those disciples were hesitant as they went to Jesus. They doubted. If you are hesitant this morning, if you doubt, please do come and talk to us afterwards. And we'd love to explain more about what Jesus did for you, to you. But then Jesus gave them this great commission, their mission, to go out into the world and to make disciples, baptizing and teaching. And that's our mission too. It starts here as we help each other grow in our understanding of what Jesus has done for us. It also takes place when we go home after the service. It takes place tomorrow in school or wherever else we're going to be. That mission is our mission for our lives, to go out and make disciples and to guide people home towards heaven as they come to know Jesus as their own personal Savior. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for these words that we've looked at this morning. We thank you for the authority that Jesus proclaimed before his disciples. We thank you for all that authority in heaven and on earth. And we thank you that in that authority, Jesus gave his disciples that mission to go out and make disciples in the world. And we thank you that it's through faithful disciples accepting that mission that we can sit here today, that you've taken their work and used their words and spoken into our hearts, Lord. And we thank you that we can hear that mission for ourselves. And we thank you that you can use us to bring the good news of Jesus to those around us and to help those around us who already know you to grow as disciples as well, Lord. And Lord, we just pray as a church that you would grow us as disciples through 2020. You would teach us more and more what it means to be followers of Jesus. You would help us to tread in Jesus' footsteps more closely, that we can be models of Jesus to those around us, that we can live the life Jesus would have us live. And Lord, we pray that as we do that, Lord, that you would help us to bring the good news of Jesus to those around us who don't know him. And Lord, we pray as well as growing in our relationship with you through this year, that we would see those around us come to know you as well, and that we would have spiritual growth and a growth in the community of our church as well, Lord. Amen.